It's the second to last week of the Louisiana high school football season, and district races are entering their final stretches. This week, district champions will be crowned in a number of districts, while in many others, teams in the middle of the pack could play spoiler and create ties in some other title chases. We'll preview this week's big matchups as we go across Louisiana next on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. It's the penultimate week of the Louisiana high school football season, and lots of big matchups on the docket this week. This is the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. Thank you for joining us on WWL.com. Let's start in the Acadiana area. Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate joins us. And Kevin, the big story this week is that shooting that happened outside St. Martinville High School Stadium. The game between the Tigers and the Erath Bobcats ruled a no contest because the game was canceled after that shooting. One person died. Ricky Martin, the chief of police in St. Martinville, says the incident was not tied to anything happening at the game, any of the players. So what more do we know about St. Martinville and Erath's games this weekend? Are they going to play? Will the LHSAA step in? Are there any sanctions? What more have we learned about this tragic situation?
Well, what happened was it was homecoming, and they had a rap concert on the school grounds, not really related to the football game, just related to the homecoming festivities. And I have no idea what caused the shooting or any of that, but obviously the man was the suspect was captured in Texas, and one man died, which was an awful tragedy, especially around those circumstances. So, no, but football-wise, it's just going to be one less game, I guess. It's kind of like no different than losing a game to a hurricane or something. You know, it's just a game that they were supposed to play that they're not going to get played. And then Erath moves on and plays Kaplan in the biggest game of the year for them.
And Kaplan's a strong team. Erath this year also fighting for playoff positioning. This is a game that at the beginning of the year, I don't think anybody would have thought would have the implications that it does this week. But this may be one of the better games on the Acadiana schedule this week. Both teams 6-1, Kaplan 1-0 in district, Erath yet to play a district game because their game last week was canceled. Who do you favor in this one?
I don't know. You know, Kaplan's played outstanding since week one. You know, they're back to physical Kaplan football and wing tee and controlling the clock. And, you know, Erath is just kind of, they were 2-8 last year. And, you know, there was really no way of knowing what they were going to do this year. And obviously they were hoping to be better, but they've been extremely consistent. Their only loss is to VC, and that was competitive. So, I don't know. I think this is a pretty much toss-up game. If you can't figure out how to keep Kaplan from controlling the ball, though, it's going to be really tough to beat them. But, you know, I don't really pay attention to lines and high school football games. If there are any, I'm sure there's some on the street. But I would think this is pretty close to a pick 'em.
A bandit may be able to tell you what the line is. Mike, we love you. We know you're listening. Terlings Catholic at St. Thomas More. District 4-4A championship on the line in this one. Terlings undefeated. St. Thomas More 5-3, but 4-0 in district. St. Thomas More, they finally found their footing after a rough start to the year. Terlings, though, facing arguably their biggest test of the season, taking on their crosstown rival.
Another one that's just a really good matchup. You know, both teams were run heavy. You know, rely on defense and a running game early. Both of them have worked on their passing game a lot in the last few weeks and have gotten a lot better at it. I want to say Cole Bergeron was like 14 of 17, if I remember correctly, from last week. So gotten a lot more precision in the passing game and efficiency. You know, this is going to be a really tough game, it's one thing that they both have good running games, but they're both going against good defenses too. So it's not going to be a real easy game to just run the ball down people's throats. So it's again, I think you're looking at another pick 'em type game. A team like STM is used to winning and had a lot of losses early. I would think they'd be a little scary. I would think when the regular season's over, we're going to say that this is one of the top three matchups all season long in the Acadiana area.
In the same district, Westgate 5-2, 2-2 in district. Northside 4-4, 2-2 in district. These are two teams on a bit of a hot streak. Westgate, they've won three straight after starting the season 2-2. Northside, they've won two straight, granted over weak competition in Brobridge and Como. But this is a game that Northside could very well pull an upset because Westgate's been hit and miss this year.
Well, you know, Westgate, I haven't seen them. You know, they lost their first string quarterback, then their second string quarterback, and the second string quarterback was their best receiver. So, they had to kind of regroup and figure out a new way to make their offense work, and they seem to have done that of late. Northside's been a pretty consistent passing team. Like they've thrown for a lot of yards, even you know in games they've won and in games they've lost. So. I still think Westgate is a pretty good favorite in this game, but because their offense is not what it was supposed to be, you certainly can't count out a passing team.
Jumping back down to 3A and 4-3A, biggest matchup in that district this week, Northwest, 4-0 in district, 6-2 overall. They get a Crowley team that's 3-2 in district, 5-3. Crowley, a bit disappointing in their district schedule so far this year, but still fighting for playoff position. Northwest, meanwhile, fighting to stay in the district title race.
Yeah, I think Northwest and Iota have kind of separated themselves, and Crawley certainly, I mean, look, they haven't been very competitive the last few years. They've always seemed to have one or two really good players that can put up some numbers, but when they play the top teams in their district, they're not real competitive, and they have been. So they made big strides. I think Northwest has really got it going. Johnson ran for over 200 yards again last week, so I think they're a pretty safe favorite this week.
Northwest, a state semifinalist last year. If they beat Crowley, they'll get Iota next week. Iota plays Mamou, which should be a victory for them. That would set up a Week 10 matchup for the District 4-3A championship. Jumping back to District 3-5A, a couple of interesting games there this week. Acadiana playing Sam Houston. Acadiana undefeated in district, 7-1 overall. Sam Houston is 5-3, but closer to Lafayette. Southside and Carencro, cross parish rivalry. 5-2 Southside, 4-4 Carencro. Both teams 4-1, needing some outside help to leapfrog Acadiana for the district title. So Southside, Carencro, who you have?
You know, I covered the Carencro game last week. The coaches and they were not happy with how they played. They won the game on a Hail Mary on the last play, and that stuff is exciting in the moment, no question. But when they looked at the film, that they didn't feel like the game should have been that close, so they didn't like the way they played. I think the way that Southside has played, obviously not as good as Acadiana, that was proven last week. I think it's going to take – Carencro's going to have to play a game better than they've played all year. For this to go down to the end. I think Southside's pretty heavy favorites in this game. But we've seen Carencro play a lot of good football in recent years. They just haven't played that really high-level game yet this year. It's going to take that, or I think Southside will win it.
In 2A, this is a District 6-2A that's going to have a couple of interesting matchups. Notre Dame against Lafayette Renaissance Charter Academy. Notre Dame 4-4. LRCA, they're 6-1 overall, but 2-1 in District. Notre Dame a half game ahead of them in the district race. LCA, Lafayette Christian, they're playing non-district against Evangel. Both teams 3-5, a little bit underwhelming considering that both teams had high expectations this year. So of these two matchups, Notre Dame and Lafayette Renaissance and Lafayette Christian and Evangel, which of these two do you think will be the more exciting, and who do you have winning in each one?
Well, I mean, the Notre Dame LRCH game is interesting because you're talking about a new program, a lot of good young players, a lot of speed against the old guard Notre Dame, a little more physical. Although Notre Dame has played a lot more high-scoring games this year than they're used to. They're not playing quite that rugged defense where it's really tough to score on them like they have in years in the past. So I could see that being a really high-scoring game, but I'd have to certainly give the edge and experience and all to Notre Dame. And Lafayette Christian, they've just been so, you know, up and down and kind of you don't really know what to expect from them. So, you know, I don't know that I trust them to go on the road and win a game. I don't know that they can outscore Evangel.
in 1A. Vermilion Catholic playing 6-1A competition this week. They get Gaydon 2-6. Vermilion Catholic undefeated 8-0, 2-0. And based on Gaydon's record, this should be a running clock game in favor of Vermilion Catholic. Meanwhile, the second and third place teams in that district face each other. Westminster of Lafayette, a new team this year, playing Ascension Episcopal, part of the old guard of that district. Both teams 7-1. Westminster of Lafayette 2-0. Ascension Episcopal 2-1 in district. Of course, Ascension's loss comes to Vermilion Catholic. Do the new kids on the block in Westminster get the upset victory over Ascension here? Do the old dogs, if you will, get the win?
I don't know. They're 6-1. They certainly haven't beaten anyone nearly as good as Ascension. I would expect that Ascension would be able to win the game, although the problem with Ascension is they have their quarterback, Brandon Mitchell, got injured. And so, they're having to kind of figure out a new way to score a bunch of points. But I'm not sure that Westminster Lafayette is quite ready to beat Ascension, but as they say, that's why they play the game.
And one last one in the Acadiana area to give Iberia Parish some love. Generette 6-1 overall this year, 1-1 in 7-1A. They play a 4-3 Central Catholic Morgan City squad that last week went to Riverside and played close, lost 18-15. So Central Catholic out for revenge, but Generette coming off a loss to Covenant Christian, looking for a bit of revenge themselves.
Yeah, for Generette, it's just, we're having a great season going, and when you lose that first game like that, it's just kind of how do you bounce back? You either get motivated by it or you can lose your confidence. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond this week.
He is Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate, giving us the lay of the land of the Acadiana area. Kevin, as always, we appreciate the time. I know you're on the road as we record this, so safe travels, my friend. We'll see you next week.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
And we continue by taking a look at the Baton Rouge area. Robin Fambro from The Advocate joins us. And Robin, a lot of big games on the calendar this week for week 9. Maybe the biggest one, though, is one that's going to decide a district championship, and that's Dunham and Episcopal. I feel like we've been talking about this game for the last few weeks in the lead-up, and I'd guess based on what we've seen so far, this game should live up to all the hype and expectation.
It gives every earmark of it. The one loss that Episcopal has is to Ascension Catholic, a team that Dunham narrowly beat. So the point differential there was not great at all, which, that's probably the best head-to-head or close to head-to-head indicator you get. But it's a great rivalry game. I think this is the 30th time they'll play. Two different styles in a lot of ways. Of course, you have Elijah Haven, the Dunham quarterback, who's the number one prospect among QBs for 2027. You've got Reed Chauvin, who's a 1,000-yard rusher for Episcopal. Episcopal has always been very, very, pounded on the ground oriented. And, year in and year out, they have a great deal of success with it. And obviously, if they can sustain drives and maybe slow down and limit possession somewhat for Dunham, I think that would be a huge factor. This always played with a lot of emotion. There's always, you can always count on a turnover or two, something crazy that's going to happen. And it basically encapsulates what high school sports is about, and high school football in particular.
Jumping from 2A to 3A quickly, U High plays Madison Prep. This is going to be for the District 6-3A championship. Both teams 4-0 in district heading into this game. Who do you think has a leg up here?
Well, you gotta give an edge to U High. They've won 7 straight, and both teams have played a tough schedule ahead of their district schedule. And this was a game that they were both looking toward. The last time that U High lost the district game was in 2022 to Madison Prep. So, there's a little bit of a new type rivalry thing there, but they know what they're getting on each side. Both teams have great size and great ability on the line. You've got two really good quarterbacks in Emil Pepperello of U High and then Tylen Johnson of Madison Prep. Styles are a little different. Madison Prep relies on Alfred McKnight as a running back. He's very, very versatile and has done some different things for them. A lot to unpack there. U High had a big game last week against Parkview. Zay Martin, Southeastern commitment wide receiver, had a breakout game there. And I think everything's in place for yet another very, very good matchup.
And a couple of good matchups in District 6 4A. Plaquemine takes on Estruma. Plaquemine 6-0 in District 7-1 overall. Estruma 5-1 in District 7-1 overall. And then the third and fourth place teams, Brule and St. Michael, taking on each other. Both 4-2 in that district. Brule 6-2 overall and St. Michael 5-3. When you look at 6-4A, this is maybe the best 4A district in the state just in terms of the parity amongst the teams in that district.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make that argument. There's a lot of parity. The question everybody has is, you know, where do they rank on the state level? As of yet, I think Plaquemine should be ranked in the Louisiana Sports Writers Association top 10. That's where I put them every week. My other colleagues don't agree. And part of the reason for that is probably the fact that they lost their week one game to Zachary. But as I told someone, I said, if you want to believe that that's one of your elite teams and that's a 5A team and look at the progress they've made since then, especially the scores, when you compare scores and how they've beaten the other teams in their district and some of the others that they've played, you know, I think they belong in that group. Struma has really, I think, overachieved so much this year. Sid Edwards got his 200th win the week before last Friday night against West Feliciana. That was a huge win 201. He told them after the game it was the biggest win they'd had since he'd been there. And as usual for them, it was a lot of Kyrie Paul. I saw some highlights where he went either around end or straight up the middle and just outran everybody. And last year, they played in a district opener. Estruma kind of surprised Plaquemine a little bit. I don't think there'll be that element of surprise this year. But you've got Tyrese Mosby of Plaquemine, who's the area's leading rusher. And then, of course, you'll have Kyrie Paul on the other side, and it'll be interesting to see just how it all comes down. It could be punch, counterpunch, which defense can get a stop, quarterback for Plaquemine, Nico Victorian, has over 1,000 yards passing. Will there be a big play in the passing game that makes a difference?
Plaquemine, since their loss to Zachary, has scored a minimum of 40 points per game over their win streak dating back to September 15th. What does the Struma's defense have to do to slow them down and to keep them under 40 points?
It's a challenge because they are multiple. It's not like they're just going to line up and run it at you. They're very capable of doing that. But again, Victorian's got two or three receivers. They're going to have to definitely get Mosby down at the point of attack. Can't have any blown coverages necessarily. I know they've got a couple of big play receivers. It's going to be like picking your poison. What do you go for? And I think that's one of the things that makes Plaquemine dangerous, is the fact that they are good on both sides. And then they've always kind of hung their hat on defense too. They've been solid in all of these games. So, you know, their challenge is, hey, those guys got us, you know, last year. We're going to come get you. We're not going to let you have 100 yards this week, but we're not going to let you do this.
Moving up to 5A in District 5A, Walker takes on Denham Springs. Both teams 5-3 overall. Walker with a one-game edge in District 3-1 to Denham Springs 2-2. This game at Denham Springs, so I'd imagine that by itself gives Denham the advantage here.
It's a rivalry. I mean, so it would be probably heated wherever it would be. They're comfortable playing each other. They've gotten that way over the last few years. And, there's probably a couple of games that you looked at and said, well, I wonder why you didn't win those. But I think they're right where they both need to be. And for Walker, the stakes are a little higher. Last year they tied. There was a three-way tie for the district title. Right now, we could have the same scenario with them, Dutchtown, and Santa Maria. That could play out again. So they're trying to keep pace with the other two. Dutchtown, Santa Maria, and Walker all have one loss.
Speaking of keeping pace, Zachary's trying to do the same thing. They're 3-0 in District 4-5A. Catholic also 3-0 there. Zachary this week gets Central. Central's 2-1 in District 7-1 overall. Can Central be spoiler and mess up that district title matchup between Zachary and Catholic next week?
That's a good question, and I think a lot of people want to know. Central was riding high when they went in and played Catholic. Did not have, obviously, the game that they had hoped to have. And sometimes that happens in football. Is this where you regroup and you put all your marbles here? They definitely want to put their best foot forward going toward the playoffs. And traditionally, at least for several years, even going back to when Sid Edwards, who's now at Estrela, was the coach here, they played some very close games. So, and last year was a great game also. I think it's going to be it's going to be interesting, especially with Zachary going to Central. It's I'm curious to see how they match up and how they come at each other. I think there's a lot for both teams to play for. Don't underestimate Caleb Gonzalez, the quarterback from Zachary. He's got I didn't get look at the stats this morning, but he had 1,200 yards last week. He's probably one of the more under the radar guys this year. Whereas Central's just had multiple guys who have gotten things done, including their quarterback, Jackson Furman, who's a Nichols commitment.
For those of you keeping score at home, Catholic plays Woodlawn this week, Woodlawn 3-5, trying to play spoiler there, but Zachary more than likely going to come out ahead. And one last one, this one in the smaller schools and on the outskirts of the Baton Rouge area, Ascension Catholic at White Castle. What can we expect from that game?
White Castle has a huge edge there. You know, they since their loss to Dunham, they have just kind of rolled people for the most part. And we saw that last week with North Iberville. North Iberville was lined up, even though it was a first-year varsity team, as being a potential challenger. White Castle beat North Iberville 44-43. And, you know, it looks like a possible mismatch, but again, there's the R factor, the rivalry factor. White Castle would like nothing better than to play spoiler. And they do have some talent, a lot of speed on the outside. But then again, the whole thing is, can you stop Chad Elsey Jr. for Ascension Catholic? And then Ascension Catholic's defense has been nothing short of stellar this year. You know, they like playing against teams that are athletic. North Iberville is very similar to White Castle in that way. You know, they've seen Dunham. They've seen Episcopal. They played 5A HL Bourgeois. They've seen just about anything you could see. So it'll be, but it's one of those David and Goliath, and you never know. Sometimes Goliath jumps up and says, hey, my week.
Ascension Catholic 6-1 overall, 3-0 in district. White Castle 4-4 overall, 3-0 in district. This will determine who is the district champion in 8-1A. Robin Fambro with The Advocate joining us. Robin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
We'll pause for a break. We're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview Week 9 edition. I'm Ian Ozan. Let's head to Central Louisiana. Lamar Gafford from CentralPreps.com joins us. Lamar, Alexandria, they passed their biggest test of the season so far, knocking off Ruston last Friday night. They still have a couple of big games left on their schedule. Washtenaw Parish this week, Neville next week. Can Alexandria go 10-0? We've seen them beat some of the big boys already in Opelousas, and as we mentioned, Ruston. Can they get past Neville in Week 10?
Yeah, I feel like at this point, I mean, I think anything's possible. And I feel like I'm feeling more and more confident each and every single week of how they could possibly run the table and do this job here. Because so far, I mean, like you said, they've taken on all comers. And like you said, facing against teams that have won championships before in the past and everything. And they basically just, you know, one after another, passing each other the test and everything else like that. And so, obviously, they're excited for Week 10. The crowd was electric last week against Ruston, and I got a feeling that it's going to be electric in Week 10. But, you know, you got a Washtenaw team here that they're not going to back down. I mean, they gave Ruston their best shot in Week 6. And so imagine there. I mean, obviously, that's a game that obviously that Ash is not going to try to take them lightly. It's not going to be a trap game for them. But it's one of those things there that I have a feeling that Washington probably will give them their best game there. But, I mean, at this point right now, I mean, Ash is flying high right now. And, shoot, they're feeling like that they could possibly make a shot and make a run at the dome here.
Ouachita is going to play Alexandria tough because Alexandria has a bullseye on its back right now. This is a Ouachita Parish team that's looking to win its first game in the month of October. They're 0-3 in their last three and looking to get their first victory in District 2-5A. So with that in mind, what does Alexandria have to do to make sure they stay unblemished?
Well, just continue to run the football, continue to play flawlessly, football as well. I mean, you got guys like Carson Sellers so far this season. He has not thrown an interception. He seems to be coming along very well as a passer, as a quarterback. And he had some big, big throws that I liked against Ruston. You know, there was one in the second quarter where, you know, he looked to try to run. They kind of, you know, it looked like he was a little flat-footed there, but he still was able to throw a strike for a touchdown. And then the last touchdown that he had against with Tanner Towson, where, you know, the bobble there, and then Towson catches the ball, was so happy that, you know, the referee who raised his arms up, and he knew that he did the job there. So, you know, they have to continue to do that. And also with J.C. Lindsey, you know, your LSU recruit, they're going to continue to lean on him. He's going to get, you know, somewhere a high amount of yards here that they know that they possibly can be able to do. So, you know, those two guys there, they can lean on. And, of course, their defense, continuing to play great defense. Their defense has put some big plays against West Monroe in week 6 and also against Ruston in week 8 to close out the game. And I think their defense needs to continue to step up in those cases as well.
Need to correct what I said a moment ago. Ouachita Parish did win a game in the month of October. It was the first Friday of the month, beating a now 7-1 Franklin Parish squad 51-47. So we know Ouachita Parish can beat teams that are tried and true, teams that have been successful this year. Still looking for their first win in district. Also looking for their first win in this district is Pineville. They've lost 3 straight. They get Ruston this week, and I'm afraid for Pineville that this may be Ruston's bounce back.
Yeah, this is probably it. I mean, I said last week I felt like Ruston was going to be mad, you know, having to after losing against Neville and coming up there to Ash. Can you imagine now after losing 2 in a row here that how mad they're going to be there? So I feel like, again, for Pineville, this is going to be very tough for them. You know, they have played very well at first. In the first half, or at least the first part of the games, only just to kind of fade away a little bit, mainly because of, you know, just the teams in the district that they've had and everything. And so it's going to be very tough, I feel like, for them. Ruston's probably going to come out there and give it their all in that case. And, you know, I just think here for Pineville, they still can make the playoffs without even needing to win here, but they also need some help in order to do that. So hopefully everything goes right for them.
Tioga getting a win in District 2 4A play, playing Peabody last week. Tioga now 3-5. They get a 4-4 Grant squad this week. Peabody, losers of 3 straight. They get a 7-1 West Ouachita team this week. Both Tioga and Peabody, underdogs in their respective matchups. Do you see either of them pulling the upset this week?
I feel like Tioga would probably do it. Like, they got to face against Grant, and that's a team that they've at least have some very good familiarity. They've won in the rivalry against them. I think they've won for the last 20 years in the rivalry. So at least I feel like Tioga has a decent shot. And again, they probably going to need some help in order to try to make it into the playoffs, and because they're on the bubble right now. They're on the outside looking in at this point. I think for Peabody here, it's going to be very tough for these next couple of weeks, because I feel like that we're going to find out what type of team Peabody is at this case, because, you know, you got to go up to Wasman, you got to face against Franklin Parish. Can they be able to steal one of those games there? Because if they are, then that could help them out in their playoff hopes right there. But if not, then they might be on the outside looking in at this point too, or just depending on how good their district is. So it's going to be very interesting there. I feel like I think Tioga will have the better shot here, but can't count out the horses, but time is running out for both of them.
In District 2-3A, Bunky last week getting a victory over Gina, and that isn't much of a surprise. The biggest surprise here is that Bunky shut out Gina 41-0. I think we all thought it would be much closer than this. What did we learn about Gina in this match? But also at the same time, what did we learn about Bunky as they look to go 10-0 against Vidalia and then Marksville over the next 2 weeks?
Well, I'll start off with Bunky, and I think we've learned a lot that how their defense has performed so far this season. Like, they have yet to allow a point during district play. And, you know, so far, I mean, their defense has been pretty solid. They got a good core, a good linebacking core that's led by Zion Lee, who's really solid. And, of course, you know, you got your Dylan Compton, and, of course, you got Kyle Johnson leading the offense. I think for Gina, now I did hear some things here that the flu was kind of running a little bit rampant there. They did have some guys that were out or affected by the flu, and they weren't able to really get some practice in and everything else like that. I felt like Bunky was going to be the favorite coming into it. They just looked razor sharp focused on that. But I didn't think it was going to be like this, to be honest with you. I didn't think that to see a Gina team get shut out in that game. I didn't think that was going to happen right there. So that might have had some effects on it right there, but I can still only imagine here that it seems like that Coach Roark, he's going to get those guys back up and running there. They got some winnable games coming up. And I think they'll be fine once they get ready to get into the playoffs there. They're going to have a high seed in Division III, non-select.
So far in district play, Bunky has outscored its opponents 158-0. In the month of October, Bunky, including the one non-district game they played, outscoring their opponents 208-14. This team is legitimate, and they seem to be unstoppable. With that in mind, can either Vidalia or Marksville stop them in these next 2 weeks?
I don't feel like Vidalia will. And I think I think they probably don't have the firepower. They got some guys, but I don't think they have the firepower there. Marksville might be a little bit of an interesting story there because Marksville's going to come in. Obviously, that's a big rivalry game. And you got a feeling that they're going to try to go out there and at least try to put a blemish on Bunky's record there. They got some guys there. You know, Elijah Murray. You also have Devin Lavallee, and then of course you have Kyron Pierre. Where those three guys, if they're all healthy, they can give a lot of players some problems there. They got some speed guys, and of course, you know, it's the Parish. They don't want to lose to their biggest rival on that one. So that's going to be an interesting battle. But I still think that Bunky will come away unblemished there because I just think that. Right now, they're razor-sharp focused. They have the better team right then and there, and that's pretty much it.
Meanwhile, Marksville gets Buckeye this week. That game in Marksville. Buckeye last week, a 27-20 win over an 0-8 Caldwell Parish team. I think a little bit too close for comfort for Buckeye there. Who do you see coming out ahead in this matchup?
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. I think Marksville will probably win, mainly because of home field advantage. But I still think here that Buckeye is probably going to be steaming after what happened last year. They felt like that, they felt like they that Marksville kind of spoiled them when they came up there to Buckeye last year. And so they get the price right there. That probably will be my game I go to just to get a chance to see those two teams. But I can only imagine, again, it's going to be a very, very physical game. We'll see who pretty much comes out ahead of the others because, you know, both of these teams are still trying to figure out as far as, well, they already know that they're probably going to make the playoffs, but both of these teams would like to have a home playoff game. And I think both of them, you know, the winner here will be more than likely will get that there. And so there is a lot on the line there. And, of course, these two teams, they're very familiar with each other.
And Gina will get Caldwell Parish this week. That should be a bounce-back game for Gina after that loss last week.
Yes, absolutely. That should be a bounce-back game. I mean, of course, you know, Gina's going to be focused on that one because not just only that, but also that's their rival. That's their biggest rivalry right there. And so even though, you know, Caldwell's coming in here at 0-8, you know, Gina's not taking them any lightly. So I can only imagine they're going to take out that frustration that they had with the flu and everything. They're going to take that out on Caldwell.
Lamar Gafford from CentralIPreps.com filling us in on what's going on in Central Louisiana. Lamar, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Have a good one.
And we move on to Northwest Louisiana and the Shreveport region. Tim Fletcher from KWKH, 1130 The Tiger, joins us. Tim, before we get into discussions about the games, I got to ask you about this eighth grade kicker who apparently is turning heads in your area. For those who haven't heard about his story, who is he, and what is he doing that's so extraordinary?
Well, the fact that, A, he's an eighth grader, had never played football in his life, and at Logansport, Kevin McGee, the head coach at Logansport, said he didn't remember the last time that he had a kicker. But he's known the Espinosa family. His dad played for Logansport. His uncles played for Logansport. His older brothers have played for Logansport. So Kevin was familiar with Alex Espinosa, that he was a nice soccer player for an eighth grader, good little soccer player. And then one day he's like, hey, just see what you can do here. You want to come give it a try? And so in practice, he went out there. First time he ever tried to kick a field goal, he hit a 35-yarder. Missed one or two, but then hit like 8 of 9 extra points. Next thing you know, they're in a game on a Friday night, and he hits every single extra point they had. Went 9 for 9. And so he said, for the first time in a long time, the Logansport Tigers now have a field goal in place kicker, which, of course, the LSU Tigers are just saying, hey, can we just maybe borrow your holder next time?
Which, for high school teams, special teams is usually the weakest point. And for Logansport, sure, they now have a special teams unit thanks to an eighth grader, Alex Espinosa. He'll be able to play all 4 years of his high school career for Logansport. And you look at what they've done the last 3 weeks. They have beat the wax off their opponents. 46-6 over St. Mary's. 63-0 over Lakeview. 40-8 over Montgomery last week. This week they play a LaSalle team that, if they beat, they'll clinch at the very least a share of the district championship. So for Logansport and Alex Espinosa and the rest of this squad, they've got a big task at hand this week.
Yeah, they do. It'll be fun for them, and Logansport has kind of set their season up to be just like this. They front load it so that they'll be geared up and ready for it, battle tested, game tested, and now, like you said, they brought in a little special teams help that should be a big benefit moving forward. And speaking of special teams, Bird Yellow Jackets got a big special teams boost and it went over Benton last week. Not too many high school football teams are able to trot out somebody who can go out there and boot a 56-yard field goal. But that's exactly what Asher Murray did, tied the school and city record. John Shaughnessy, who's now Dr. John Shaughnessy, a member of the 2000 graduating class of 09 at Bird High School, because he graduated with my daughter, Sydney. He booted a 56-yarder for Bird, and so that's a city and school record. Of course, Shaughnessy went on to play at Northwestern State and put the first points on the board ever for Northwestern State against LSU when he kicked a field goal in Tiger Stadium. So Asher Murray, whose brother, older brother, is now at Miami as a freshman kicker. Asher looks like he is headed down that same path. So not only do we have quarterbacks up here, Ian, but we got kickers too, doggone it, and we're happy with it. We can chunk it and kick it with anybody.
And we may see Asher Murray factor into this week's big game in District 1-5A as Airline takes on Bird for the district title. Airline wins, they clinch it outright. Bird wins, it'll be a share of the title between Bird and Airline at the very least. That also depends on what Parkway does the rest of the way. So a lot riding on this game between Bird and Airline. This one going to be at CE Bird this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be at Lee Hedges Stadium, and one of the weird things around here for the folks down south, our friends in Monroe are probably aware of it, but Lee Hedges Stadium is basically the home stadium for Shreve, which is where the school is located right next to the stadium, as well as Bird. Woodlawn and Huntington will also play there occasionally when they can't get Independence Stadium. Same thing for Southwood, so it's just weird. But yeah, Bird's home stadium is Lee Hedges, and they will be hosting an Airline team that continues to just get it done. Ben Taylor, 444 yards passing last week against Natchitoches. Kenny Darby, 10 catches for 202 yards. Jarvis Davis, 9 catches for 112 yards. And they now trot out Darian Milligan, who had 13 carries for 169 yards. So they're able to do a lot of things. Bird's going to try to beat you up. Colin Deere ran for 206 yards this past week. He is not a deer in the headlights. That is a fact. And they've got a quarterback in Harrison Ayers. They don't throw it often, but when they throw it, 4 or 5 times a game, he'll hit 2 of 3 or 3 of 4, and usually it goes for about 35 yards and a touchdown, and that's what they did against Benton. They just suck you in with that Veer-type, option offense, and as soon as your linebackers and defensive backs try to cheat up, all of a sudden the tight end or a wide receiver or a slot back is sliding around behind the safety, and all you have to do is just drop it over them, and you get a score, and that's what Bird did. So you'll see a little bit of that. So it's Bird ground and pound going up against Airlines, completely almost unstoppable attack. 76 points last week against Natchitoches Central. 76 points in 48 minutes of high school football.
And that's with a running clock at some point, too. They put up some of those points.
Well, not this one. This was the Natchitoches kind of kept hanging in there like a hair on a biscuit, as we say. This one never got to the 42-point threshold. So they had to actually, you know, take some timeouts and all that good stuff and stop the clock on incomplete passes. But 76-52 Airline wins. And it'll be a very interesting matchup, you know, because it's not too many teams are able to do what Airline's able to do, but very few teams run an offense like Bird does. So Airline's got 1 week, even though they probably have been practicing a little bit, you know, maybe even a little bit this past week on the Bird offense. Getting ready to face that Bird offense is always difficult for any team with only 6-7 days to do so.
Meanwhile, in Class 4A, District 1 4A, Loyola Prep gets North DeSoto this week. Loyola Prep, if they get the win over North DeSoto, would create a logjam at the top of that district. North DeSoto is right now is 5-0, but Minden is 4-1. Northwood is 4-1. Loyola Prep 4-1 in that district. Can Loyola Prep play spoiler here and create that logjam?
I think they can if things go well for them. I think that they're going to have a few things go right. Not sure if North DeSoto is going to get Cole Corey, their all-state wide receiver from last year. He's been out for about 5 weeks now. He has started practicing last week, but he was nowhere near ramping up to full speed. If they are not able to go with him, that limits them just a wee bit on their potential, but we've seen them knock off a previously undefeated Minden squad 42-0. North DeSoto brings the defense to the table. They've got a seasoned quarterback in Luke Delafield, who's a junior, who's been starting since he was a freshman. Loyola counters with just toughness. They've got a sophomore quarterback in Bryce Restovich, who does a really nice job of distributing the ball. There are a couple of times where John Sella, the coach, says that, you know, we've got to get his playmaking and his decision-making, a little bit more fine-tuned, but they've got so many weapons at Loyola. They really do. And whether it's an Ebarb kid here, or Mason Drake kid who's gone for about 400 yards rushing in the last 2 weeks, it's going to be a physical football game. This is one of those ice bath games, and it's at Loyola. And they really do create a home atmosphere at their games. The students show up in a big way. The alumni and fans pack it out. And there's not a big visitor side, so there's not going to be a whole lot of options for the traveling folks from Stonewall to get here for that game. So Loyola at home has more than a puncher's chance. In other words, it's not going to take just all luck. But holding North DeSoto down for 48 minutes, that's a difficult task. But I think that it's gun to my head, North DeSoto wins this game, but I think it'll be close.
Any other games of note that we've missed?
Well, you know, it's just, once again, we're kind of getting down into the nitty-gritty of starting to look at the playoff picture, you know, and you know, we got one team from South Louisiana coming up here in an out-of-district race with Lafayette Christian and Evangel, and both teams need those power points, so that'll be a very interesting kind of game. Northwood and Minden, you know, you mentioned the 1-4-A title kind of up for grabs. If Loyola does everybody a favor and that crew gets the win, then the Northwood-Minden game is going to be a big one. That's played at Minden at the Pit. And so there's still something going on there. You know, we've got a little bit of action in that regard there. So keeping an eye on District 1-4A as well as District 1-5A with district titles kind of on the line this week is going to be a lot of fun.
Tim Fletcher from KWKH 1130 The Tiger joining us on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Ian.
And the Pelican State Prep Football Preview continues right after this. The Week 9 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on. I'm Ian Ozan. We continue by going to the River Parishes and Bayou region. Troy LaBeouf joins us. And Troy, let's give some love to Covenant Christian. We've not talked about them at all this year. They're 8-0 now, a big 29-12 win over Generette. This is a team that's flown under the radar. How have they been able to be this successful this year, and what's next for them?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we do need to give them some love. That's a great point. I mean, Jesse Turner, He came over from Ellender, I believe, last year. He had some guys that had to sit out that had transferred, but those guys are eligible now, and they got speed everywhere on the field. They got a receiving core that can take it to the house every time they catch the football. They have a running back that's really good, but I got to give credit to Owen Trusclair, outstanding baseball player who played on the offensive and defensive line last year, and he is their quarterback now. So he played undersized on the line last year because they needed him to. Well, he shows his talents. He's thrown for 15, 48, 21 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. So they took care of Jenneret. They will play week 10, which is not this week but next, against Central Catholic, and that would most likely be for the district championship. They'll handle business this week, but I like Covenant to probably look like they'll go undefeated if they can beat Central Catholic in week 10. And they'll be a top 4 seed going into the Division 4 playoffs.
And Central Catholic's going to be a tough matchup. This is the same team that last week lost to Riverside, but by only 3 points, 18-15. They held a potent Riverside offense to only 18 points. So with that in mind, is there anything that Central Catholic did that the rest of Riverside's opponents through not just the regular season but the playoffs can take and use to their advantage? Or will we see a rebound from Riverside and Dedrick Lasty and they continue their run towards the Superdome?
No, that's a great point. I mean, I watched the film. I watched the replay of it. I really thought Central Catholic's defensive backs, who are tall and rangy, played physical with Riverside's skill guys, and they have some really good skill guys on the outside that can catch the football, that can run with the football, and we don't need – I mean, we talk about Lasty every week. He's amazing what he does at 5'5", 160 pounds. He's got 20-plus touchdowns again this season. But maybe they did give somewhat of a blueprint, if you will. But Riverside, they're so talented on both sides of the ball. Now, defensively, you know, this game was actually 18-15 at the half. Neither team scored in the second half. It was somewhat sloppy at times in the second half. They had some penalties that stopped both teams with some scoring opportunities. But Riverside's got a club built to go deep in the playoffs, and I'm sure the coaching staff feels like they can do that if they can just fix, you know, just shore up a couple little areas here and there. But they're playing pretty good football. It's going to be tough to beat them in the next two. I think they'll roll in the next two.
Just down the road from Riverside is Lutcher. They're 7-0, unbeaten in district. They have an easy rest of the way through the regular season. For Lutcher right now, it's just a matter of waiting and seeing where they go in the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll finish 9-0. No disrespect to the two teams they're going to play these upcoming weeks. They'll take care of business. They'll be a top 3 seed. Not sure if they can get to 1, possible, depending on how some of the other games go along. But 4 out of their last 5 games, they've recorded shutouts on defense. That tells you what kind of – I don't care who you're playing against. When you shut down an opponent and you put a goose egg on the board, that shows you the strength of the football team is their defense. Great special teams, and they got a playmaker in Trenton Chaney. Quarterback Zach Jenkins has done a fantastic job in his first year as a starter at quarterback.
And the big game this week along the river, Hanville-Destrehan will be at that game for the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. This is a rivalry game, of course, but a district championship is on the line here. Destrehan fell to Terrebonne. That's their one loss. Hanville unbeaten. If they get the win on enemy turf, they'll be the District 8-5A champion. But we know that in rivalry games, not everything goes according to what's on paper and what's according to plan. So with that in mind, what kind of home field advantage does Destrehan have, and is it enough for them to beat Hanville?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's hometown advantage is also a big thing I look at. But I think the biggest thing I look at is Destrehan getting some of their injured players back. They've been banged up for just about the entire season, and they got their signal caller back, Jackson Arnold, quarterback. He's got 3 to 4 power four receivers to spread the football out to. They have a stud on defense in Jace Thomas, who's an LSU commitment. But on the other side, you know, Greg Boyne should be considered for Coach of the Year in Class 5A. That's my opinion only, but I think he should be up there in consideration. What he's done to bring back the pride back to a storied program in Hanville in the River Parishes, they were always, always going deep in the playoffs and potentially playing for state championships. But they played outstanding football. They've averaged about 46 points a game in the last 6, and they've only given up 18. Something's got to give in this game. It's going to be hard-hitting. It's going to be athletes on both sides of the football, athletes that will be playing on Saturdays, and who knows, some of these guys may be playing on Sundays one day in the NFL. We'll see. But, again, Destran's healthy. They play at home. I'll give them a little bit of the edge. But I'm jealous because you guys will get to see a really good one on Friday night.
We sure will, and we're looking forward to it. And we're also looking forward to the fact that there'll be no rain this time that we go to Destrehan. The last time we were there in week one, we got something to the effect of 7 or 8 inches of rain in the span of about 4 hours. So we're happy that it'll be much better conditions this go around. Troy LaBeouf joining us on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Troy, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week, my friend.
I look forward to it. It'll be week 10. You and I'll be talking about the potential playoff matchups.
Yes, we can. And yes, Jim Mora, we will be talking about playoffs. And we continue by taking a look at the New Orleans metro area. Coach Lou Vowden from the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup joins us. Coach, maybe the biggest game in the area this week will be the one we're covering on Friday night, and that's Destrehan-Hahnville. Not only is it a big district match, but a big rivalry between these two teams from St. Charles Parish. What can we expect between these two, especially from Destrehan, who got off to that slow start, but now has kind of found its footing?
Get there early. That's all I can say. Get there early. I mean, all of St. Charles is going to turn up for this thing, win or lose. You know, I think the Hahnville people are very excited about the resurgence of their program. They are, you know, they've only beaten Destrehan once in the last 11 years. So this is going to be, you know, they have a chance to win this game. I think it ought to be a really good team. Destrehan got their quarterbacks back. That's why they kind of back on the right track. So I think it's going to be a heck of a football game. I know Hahnville's a very physical team, and that's the way you got to play with Destrehan. Destrehan relies on skill and speed. Hahnville, you kind of got to punch them in the mouth.
Hahnville's won their last five. In that stretch, they've scored 42 points or more in each of those games. Destrehan, they've won four of their last five, and in the last three games, all of which they've won, they've scored a minimum of 33 points. You're going to see a lot of offense here. Which defense is going to be the one to break first, do you think?
I think Destrehan may have an advantage. Hahnville has a real good running back, but I think Destrehan has more guys that can make explosive plays and get you a cheap touchdown. You know, that's, you know, Destrehan's receivers, that's going to be the key. Hahnville secondary versus Destrehan receiving corps. Destrehan's receivers are big time.
Let's move to the Catholic League right quick. Etna Carr, they get John Curtis this week. Next week will be Archbishop Rummel. Carr trying to run the table, trying to go 9-0 on the season and undefeated in the Catholic League. Do you see either John Curtis this week or Archbishop Rummel next week knocking off Etna Carr?
Well, you know, Curtis lost last week, so that kind of knocks them out of the district race. I could see Curtis knocking off Carr. You know, Holy Cross has played with Carr for a half. Jesuit played with him. I could see Curtis knocking him off, and I could possibly see Rummel doing the same because Rummel has the ability to run the football. The biggest Catholic League game, though, I think, is Rummel-Jesuit. That is a must-win for Rummel. If they win that one, they're playing Carr for the district championship. Week 10 at Berman Stadium. So that's the biggest one. I know Brother Martin, you know, they lost four out of their last five. They got to get they're going to get straight this week against West Monroe. And then, you know, Holy Cross has Aug, but none of those have a factor in the district race. It's a Card Jesuit and Rummel. Rummel Jesuit and Card Curtis. Those two games are going to have a factor in who's going to be the Catholic League champion.
Now, Jesuit's done a good job of playing spoiler this year. They beat St. Aug earlier in the month. They beat John Curtis last week. Both of those were closed games. So with Jesuit coming in, this is not a gimme for Archbishop Rummel. This is a Jesuit team that's not only tough, but also a team that's fighting for playoff position right now.
Yeah, Jesuit's Jesuit. They don't win a lot of games. They show up and the other team loses. That's kind of the way the Blue Jays play. They show up. They're very disciplined. They get in a bunch of formations. They don't try to fool you. you know, if they want to run the football, they may have two or three tight ends in. So they get a bunch of formations. They try to run the football. They try to play tough on defense, not give up explosive plays. They have great kicking. And their deal is, we're not going to beat ourselves. We're going to show up. We're going to play Blue Jay ball. And when the other team blinks, then we're going to make them pay for it. So if Rummel, on the other hand, they have to – ball security is going to be the big thing for him. You know, no turnovers. And I think if Rummel plays – if Rummel and Jesuit play equally, Rummel may have better players than Jesuit.
Moving down to 4A in District 9, 4A, Archbishop Shaw plays Belchase this week. Shaw 6-2 overall, Belchase 7-1. Shaw this past week hung 79 points on Kenner Discovery. How do you avoid having a letdown game after that type of result, after that type of a game?
This is a mini rivalry game. Even when they were not in the same district, Shaw and Belchase would play. So for the last 10 years, Shaw and Belchase have played football. And so they got a lot of Belchase kids that go to Shaw. So this is a mini rivalry. I was curious last week to see what would happen with Belchase and St. Charles Catholic, because Belchase kind of played a weak schedule and St. Charles Catholic played a tough schedule. And I wanted to see which one of those teams would, you know, show that they were, you know, show their true colors. And neither of them did. It was 14-13. So we really don't know a lot about Belchase. You know, Shaw, they've been running the table, but aside from really Lafayette Christian, that's like really the only real good team that they've beat. You know, they beat St. James, so they're coming around. The thing with Shaw is they're healthy. And they're healthy with dangerous cats on offense.
Speaking of teams that are dangerous, we've not talked much at all this year about the Haynes Academy out in Jefferson Parish in Metairie. They're undefeated. They're 7-0. They're 3-0. This week they're playing in a winless Patrick Taylor squad. But this Haynes Academy squad, considering they're undefeated, considering that they're on their way to a district title in 9-3A, is this team a serious threat come the playoffs in Division III non-select? Or, pardon me, Division III select?
Yeah, I mean, your record speaks for itself. And I think since they moved the school to where Grace King was, because you look on the West Bank, you know, Haynes is a magnet school, an academic magnet school, a lot like Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Taylor. Those three schools, where they have two of them on the West Bank, they only had one on the East Bank. So they moved Haynes to a bigger facility because people were trying to knock the doors down to get in there. And so they pick, you know, their enrollment's up a little bit. I can see down the road them being a Division II team. And, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, your record is what it is. And they've been playing like schools, you know, schools with similar talent and similar enrollment. So, and they've been winning. So, yeah, I think they got a chance to. A chance to win, I don't know, you know, but a chance to advance and maybe hang around till Thanksgiving, yeah.
I need to correct myself. They're Division II select, of course, 3A. Just because you're 3A doesn't necessarily mean you're Division III with how the new classification system works.
Division II, mm-hmm. Division II, they're going to have to get in the right bracket. You know, you're going to have to, if you want to advance. You know, if you get stuck in there with, you know, on the side of the bracket, if you're on the same side as Shaw and U High, or, you know, I know Shaw's in Division II. Shaw's kind of worried about Kennedy. That's the sleeper in Division II.
And Kennedy this week gets De La Salle. These two teams playing for a district title in 10-3A. De La Salle 3-0 in district. JFK 3-0 in district. Both teams 4-4 overall. So if JFK is a sleeper team, they may have their coming out party this week if they can get a win over De La Salle.
Yeah, I know. That's because Shaw's number was number two last week. I didn't look at the power rate yet, but Shaw was number two last week. and JFK was 18, and JFK was probably going to beat who they were going to play. And so Shaw was looking. I know Hank would not like to play them, a team like JFK, week two of the playoffs if possible. Another big game, both teams undefeated in district, Mandeville and St. Paul's. That's going to be a heck of a football game at Mandeville.
And I was about to ask you about that, going over to the North Shore. That may be the game of the week outside of Destrehan and Hanville. For those who haven't seen these two teams play yet this year, what can they expect from that game?
Well, similar to, you know, St. Paul's is going to have to play perfect. They have great kicking, you know, so if they can play, win the field position battle, you know, they're going to get some points. But, you know, if Mandeville lets the big dog eat, then St. Paul's better get him on the ground. You know, Shepard, that's what it's about. You have two teams with evenly matched talent, but one team has a superstar. And so you got to, you know, you can't let him make explosive plays.
And there's several other games on the North Shore.
Throw the football.
Say that one more time, Coach. I lost you.
Make Mandeville have to throw the football.
Couple other big games on the North Shore this week. Franklinton taking on LaRanger. That's one we'll be watching. Lakeshore, they get a chance to rebound this week, playing a weak Archbishop Hannon squad, a team that's 1-6 this year. Any others on the North Shore that we should be paying attention to?
No, but there's another one locally that used to be, that was a rivalry for a while. And they kind of, it's Country Day and Newman. So now Country Day has a really good running back, a kid named Drago, not related to the Oyster people or the Ivan Drago of Rocky IV, but they have a really good running back. And, you know, Newman's Newman with Eli Friendly quarterback. This was a heck of a rivalry a few years ago when Country Day had that loaded team. So this will be the best team that Newman's played in maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
He is Coach Lou Valden from the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, working in a Rocky IV reference. I owe you a slice of pizza when I see you on Friday, sir.
All right, Ian.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate the time as always, and we'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this. And we return to the Week 9 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview by going to the Monroe area, Northeast Louisiana. Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joins us. Gene, we are in crunch time for several districts in North Louisiana. You've got district titles that are going to be up for grabs across all five classifications. Let's start with District 2-5A. We saw Alexandria Hand-Ruston, their second loss of the season last week, 40-36 in a close game. This week, Neville, undefeated, 8-0. They get West Monroe. Ruston try to get back on the horse by playing Pineville this week. Washtenaw Parish plays Alexandria. So of these three games, do you see any possibilities of upsets here, especially Washtenaw Parish possibly upsetting Alexandria?
Well, you know, anybody's coming off of two emotional games like Ash did, you know, you think there's that possibility, especially since it's going to be played in Monroe, be the first time the Trojans have traveled away from home. But, man, they're such a good football team, and they're playing solid. I think they had 420 yards against Ruston the other night. Who would have thunk it? And even though the Bearcats had a great game, Jordan Hayes, I think, still rushed for almost 140-something in three scores. But, you know, so anything can happen, to be honest with you, Ian. You know that. That Neville-West Monroe ball game, I think, is going to be special. It's at Neville. West Monroe somehow figured out a way to play hardly no home games this year. They only had four. So they'll cross over the river and play a Tigers team that the young sophomore quarterback, Parker Robinson, continues to throw it all over the place. He was 27 for 30 the other night. I don't know if you noted that. 311 yards and two touchdowns. And Jalen Nichols, the great little running back, had three more scores. They laid it on Washtenaw pretty good, 41 to 14. So they are obviously the team to beat. Ash comes to Wichita, like you said. If they win there, they go back home to host Neville in what would be, I guess, the district title game, should both teams win this coming Friday.
Meanwhile, in Class 4A, Franklin Parish, they're unbeaten in District 2 4A. They get Wasman and Tioga this week. West Wichita, they've already lost to Franklin Parish. 2-1 in District, 7-1 overall. They get Peabody and Grant. For Franklin Parish, do they run the table, or does West Wichita have a hope of, at the very least, getting a share of the title thanks to Wasman or Tioga pulling an upset?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think they run the table. I know my friends out there with the Chiefs probably won't want to hear that. But at the end of the day right now, Coach Adrian Burnett has Franklin Parish, the Patriots, playing very, very good football. And they're almost in a place they've never been before. So how they handle success, I think, is going to be a big part of their game plan this week, too. But I like their chances with 2 weeks to go.
District title up for grabs in District 1-3A. Carroll and Sterlington face each other this week. That game in Sterlington. Sterlington's won 3 in a row. Carroll has won 2 in a row. Both teams undefeated in district. How do you see this one going?
Well, Sterlington, I know, has played probably the most impressive schedule of anybody around here. And they beat Bastrop 37-22 in a game that many people thought was going to be pretty darn close. You know, J. Rob Breen, he's the son of their offensive coordinator, had a couple of scores, but he got a kid, a running back, Hagan Herring. He had 159 yards and a touchdown the other night. So to have him back in the fold, I think Sterlington is going to be the winner in this football game. Like I said, he did themselves a lot of favors playing teams that were in 3A, 4A, and 5A in his pregame schedule. So I'm giving a nod to the Panthers.
In 2-2A, one of the bigger games in Northeast Louisiana this week, Wichita Christian at Faraday. Wichita Christian undefeated. They're 8-0. They're 5-0 in district. Faraday, they struggled in district. They're 3-2, but still a chance for Faraday to clinch possibly a top 10 seed in the playoffs if everything goes okay. And a win over Wichita Christian certainly would push them in that direction.
Yeah, and the fact that they play down at Faraday, I think, is going to make that tough. There's no question about it. But, man, we learned a lot about the Eagles this past week. I don't know if you noted, but they beat Mangum. And not only Mangum, but a very good Mangum team. And not only beat them, they smoked them. It was 50-16 in that ball game. And you know, they're doing it with a lot of new faces. They lost a lot of kids, a lot of seniors a year ago, and including the Hamby kid who signed at Vanderbilt. And, man, somehow they have just reloaded. They're doing it behind that Jude Turner kid. He had 3 touchdowns. I think Macon Lennon had 142 yards rushing and 2 more scores. So when you handle the Dragons that easily and beat them by 34 points, man, I'd be worried if I was on their schedule in weeks 9 and 10.
And if Wichita Christian is able to stay unbeaten, they get the win at Faraday this week. It would set up a district title match with Oak Grove. They're 5-0 in district, only
That's
one
right.
loss of the year against Calvary Baptist. This week, Oak Grove gets a 1-7 Madison squad that, based on what we've seen from Madison, I don't think they have a chance in this game.
No, they don't, with all due respect to those guys. In fact, I wouldn't even be surprised that Oak Grove is even sort of taking some peeks at getting OCS on tape and breaking down their game plan. I know that's sad to say they're overlooking them, but all that being said, that's the way that thing's going to go down. And they moved the game, by the way. It's not at Madison. They moved it back to Oak Grove. So, you know, chalk up a W for Coach Gregory, and then they'll start working on the Eagles.
Staying in Faraday, Delta Charter, they're 3-0 in their district. They get blocked this week. St. Fred's, they're 3-0 in the same district, 2-1A. They get General Trask, who right now is fighting for a share of the district title. If they can beat St. Fred's, that would put them one step closer, especially considering that St. Fred's has to play Delta Charter in Week 10.
Hey, and look, you just pointed out that's one of our great games this week, to be honest with you, here in Northeast Louisiana. For anybody that likes to just kind of keep track of that thing a little bit, Delta Charters will have an easy ball game as they play block. But, man, St. Fred's has been a great story. They play at General Trask Thursday night. And you know what happened to them last week. They were all part of that 84-82 four overtime ball game with Delta Charter. Both teams had over 1,100 total yards, and it is the highest scoring game in LSSAA history. So I don't know if you noted that during the course of the weekend, but, you know, Delta Charter is going to win this week. They're at home against Block. General Trask says St. Fred's. I like the Warriors. They're a good football team, and they're 6-2 on the year and looking to improve on their number 9 seed right now.
So we've had one overtime game already this year get into the 70s. That was a game Evangel was involved in a few weeks back. General Trask and Delta Charter getting into the 80s, 84-82. Last time I could remember a team hitting the 80-point mark was Acadiana back in 2019 playing Sam Houston on a Thursday night. The game got moved to a Thursday because of inclement weather expected the following day. And Acadiana hung, I think, 50 points in the first half, wound up finishing with 84 points in that game. So General Trask in rare company there. Delta Charter in rare company there.
Delta Charter with their
84-point mark in victory over General Trask last week.
But Ian, to have that thing go down to both teams getting in the 80s like that, it's just unheard of. I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, once you get to that point, you know, you're forced to go for two, so that's what it came down to. At one point, Delta Charter was losing in that ball game, man, 52-30. So they stormed back and got that W. It was unbelievable.
And once we get to the playoffs, knowing the kind of heart that these teams have, it'll certainly make for an interesting run in the D4 playoffs, both on the select and non-select side, once we get into the postseason in just a couple of weeks from now. Before we go, I have to ask you, what's the most exciting thing you've seen so far this year? You can pick a high school football game or the Taylor Swift extravaganza in New Orleans.
Well, I will say I didn't go into the concert, but I did have 4 tickets for my my daughter and her friends to go. It brought joy to my life to see her so excited for so many weeks leading up to that thing. My hat's off to everybody in New Orleans, man. It was cleaned up. It was well policed. There was a lot of, you know, obviously I don't think I've ever seen more women in one spot in my life. That's all I saw. But that would, for a different reason, be a nice highlight to the year so far. I see a lot of great football games, but that was very well done at the Superdome this past Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
It certainly was, and from everything I've heard from bartenders and restaurant workers, I know they're waiting for the Swifties to come back just because they were the most pleasant crowd they've ever dealt with. Tips aside, that just the politeness that they experienced was a welcome change. So so to the Swifties,
they banked. I don't mind telling you.
They certainly did. Gene Ponte with the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joining us, giving us our update from Northeast Louisiana. Gene, as always, a pleasure. We'll see you next time. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll see you when you come down for the state title game in a few weeks.
Absolutely. Have a great week, Ian.
And now we move to the Lake Charles area. Chasten Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joins us. Chasten, let's start in District 3-5A. This week, Sam Houston gets Acadiana. Sam Houston is 5-3. Acadiana is 7-1. And based on how Acadiana's played, Sam Houston has a tough test ahead of them. Now, with that in mind, Sam Houston, depending on how things shape out this week and next week, there's always a chance they could wind up facing Barb in the opening round of the playoffs. And if that happens, these two teams would have to play back-to-back weeks. So with that in mind, what are the chances that we see that happen, and what are the chances that we see two Lake Charles teams from 3-5A get into the playoffs for the first time in several years?
Yeah, look, I definitely think it's a chance that they both get into the playoffs. I think they're both going to get in the playoffs. Yeah, look, Sam Houston, they are coming off their best defensive effort last week as they took on New Iberia. They win 42-7, you know, kind of a get-right game. After the tough stretch of Southside and Carencro, they get the win over New Iberia, 42-7. And now, you know, they've got Acadiana and Barb to finish it out. Acadiana on the road, Barb at home. And you mentioned, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that the two could play in the opening round of the playoffs. We'll see. You know, some things obviously have got to happen, but we will certainly see if that kind of shakes out that way. I think Barb sitting at 14. Sam Houston sitting at 18 right now. And actually, at the moment, we would be getting all three. If the playoffs started today, we would get all three Southwest Louisiana 5A teams into the playoffs. Because Salford right now sitting at 28 after they got their hearts broken on Friday night.
Meanwhile, in Class 4A, Iowa gets LaGrange this week. On paper, this is a game that appears to be competitive, but it seems as if LaGrange is starting to show that they might not be as strong as we thought they were.
Yeah, look, LaGrange got off to an incredible start. I mean, look, they were, I believe, 5-3, you know, 5-1, coming into the, you know, Eunice game. Eunice upsets them. Then they go to DeRidder. They lose 55-12, and now this week you're going to get Iowa. And Iowa, they have not showed any mercy to anybody. So the Gators might be in for a long night taking on the Iowa Yellow Jackets, because I tell you what, that Iowa squad, they're a lot of fun.
Speaking of showing no mercy, in District 3-3A, you have a couple teams that more than likely will show no mercy to their opponents, and it'll show on the scoreboard. Jennings gets a listless St. Louis Catholic squad. Jennings riding a 7-game win streak into this week. Lake Charles College Prep, they get an 0-8 Como squad that I wouldn't be surprised if it's a running clock before halftime. Meanwhile, the most competitive game in that district this week is going to be South Beauregard against Westlake. Westlake comes into this game on a 2-game losing streak. What do they have to do to right the ship and get a victory over South Bow?
Yeah, look, that's actually our game of the week this week over on 92.9 The Lake FM. Look, that one's going to be a ton of fun. Those are two teams. They don't like each other. You know, when you get late season, you get those big rivalry games. This is certainly one of them. These are two teams who, you know, have kind of, you know, like with South Beauregard, they've got two losses, you know, that, you know, both of them obviously have two losses, but, you know, South Beauregard coming off 2 weeks ago, a brutal loss to Jennings. They rebound last week with a win over St. Louis. Westlake, you know, they've lost 2 games in a row, one of them on heartbreaking fashion. And last week, you know, LCCP kind of ran away with that one. Look, this is this is going to be an interesting matchup. Look, both teams, they've got a lot of athletes, a lot of skill. You know, with Westlake, you've got guys, you know, like Kevin Rito and Ryan Allen and Braylon Garrett, quarterback Brody Anderson. And South Beauregard, they've got some dudes as well. I mean, look, when you start off on the offensive side of the football with Christian Wold, you're doing something right. That guy can do it all from the quarterback position, whether you want him to throw the football or run the ball. That one's a ton of fun. Look, we mentioned the Jennings. We mentioned the Jennings Bulldogs. Look, that is a team that lost week one to Iowa and since has showed no mercy. You mentioned show no mercy. They've showed no mercy to everybody in their trek. I mean, wins over, you know, Eunice, who they're a little bit down, they're playing better now. They've got wins over Welsh, Northwest, DeRidder, you know, LCCP, South Beauregard. And last week was the biggest win I think they've had in quite some time. They get Notre Dame, the Pioneers, Coach Louis Cook at home, and they win in an absolute classic, 17-16, in a game that I had the joy to call. It was an absolute phenomenal football game. First time Jennings has ever beaten Notre Dame. They were 0-15 going into the matchup, and they get the win. I said going into that matchup, and I told you last week we would really find out who Jennings was and, you know, if they could compete not only throughout the regular season, obviously for a district title, but not only just to get to the quarterfinals, see if they can make a run to the Superdome. And boy, it's not out of the realm of possibility, as Notre Dame always a frequent task there, and they get the win 17-16 at home. That one, a huge win for the Bulldogs.
Sounds like it was an instant classic as well, and knowing those two teams, it was. In District 6-2A, Lake Arthur gets Welsh, another regional rivalry, two teams separated by only a few miles. Welsh is 4-4, Lake Arthur 4-3, both teams looking for their first district win. Who do you think gets it this week?
Yeah, this is another intriguing matchup, one that we had talked about doing for our game of the week. We didn't end up going to that with doing Westlake South Beauregard. Tough decision there. But look, Welsh is a banged up football team. Jonathan Begno, he's been out for a couple of weeks. The quarterback, you know, Mr. Do It All, can do it through the air, can do it on the ground. So, you know, they really had to rely on, you know, guys like Cameron Boulay stepping in, you know, quarterback, I guess, you know, Hadel, guys like that. Look, they're off of a tough loss last week to Lafayette Renaissance, or 2 weeks ago to Lafayette Renaissance, taking on Lafayette Christian last week. Obviously, everybody around here struggles with LCA. Typically, most people struggle with LCA. I think this is a get right week if you're Welsh. I think in terms of teams who need the win, it's the Welsh Greyhounds. But when you look at the Lake Arthur Tigers, look, they're coming off of a tough loss late. They lose late to Lafayette Renaissance. Now they get Welsh. They typically struggle with Welsh. This is typically a one-sided affair. I know we did the game last year, and it was over by the end of the first quarter. So this is a big kind of hurdle for Coach Davis and the Lake Arthur Tigers. Who gets a win? I think at this point, with the injuries for the Welsh Greyhounds, I think if Welsh is 100%, I think Welsh wins by a couple of scores. But, you know, with all the injuries that the Greyhounds have right now, I think it's a coin flip.
In Class 1A, in 4-1A, Elton takes on Grand Lake this week. These are two teams that are coming off wins last week. Grand Lake beating Maryville. The week before that, they beat Basile. Elton last week with a victory over Basile themselves. This to determine second place in the district. Both teams 2-1, a game behind Hamilton Christian. So for Elton and Grand Lake, what do you see happening here?
Yeah, look, this is a matchup that's a ton of fun. Elton comes in 6-2. You know, Grand Lake, they kind of struggled here and there, but it looks like they're finally starting to kind of start to find their stride a little bit. Look, Elton, they've got 2,000-yard rushers. They have got a dynamic duo in the backfield. This is going to be a tough task for Coach Wainwright and gang in Grand Lake, but, man, if there's one guy I'm not betting against in a big game, it's Coach Wainwright. That one could be a ton of fun. Look, that district is tough because, you know, outside of, you know, it's really Hamilton Christian and everybody else. They have proven that they are just absolutely running over any competition in that district this year.
And Hamilton Christian is a team we've not talked about at all so far this year. They're on a 6-game win streak. They lost their opener to Quincy 32-13, and since then they have steamrolled over their opponents. Aside from the Vinton game, which was a 13-8 final, they have posted a minimum of 41 points per game since then. What's been their secret to success?
Javon Vidal. There's your answer right there, Javon Vidal. I mean, look, he's averaging 150 yards a game on the ground. He's also averaging, you know, 80 yards through the air. The guy can do it all. I mean, look, he's got 1,000 yards on the ground and nearly, you know, over 800 yards through the air. He is Mr. Do-It-All. I feel like I say that a lot, but he is truly Mr. Do-It-All for the Hamilton Christian Warriors. And, boy, I'm sure Coach Dexter Washington is sure glad he has got Javon Vidal because he is the guy that makes that team roll.
Chanson Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joining us to give us the lay of the land in Southwest Louisiana. Chanson, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Appreciate it. See ya.
The Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on after this. We're back with the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Before we go, a couple of quick notes. First, a programming note. The All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup will be live on the air this Friday night from 7 to 10:30 on WWL-FM 105.3. Coach Lou Valden, Alan Waddell, and I will be live from Destrehan as the Wildcats take on the Hanville Tigers in a St. Charles Parish rivalry matchup. That's from 7 o'clock to 10:30 on WWL-FM 105.3. If you listen to AM 870, you'll hear the New Orleans Pelicans taking on the Indiana Pacers. So if you want the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, make sure you tuned in to FM 105.3, or you can go to WWL.com or the Odyssey app and get us there. In another sport, volleyball, the playoffs will begin next Tuesday. In fact, the regular season for Louisiana High School Volleyball ends on Saturday. Playoff brackets come out on Monday, and over the course of the next week to week and a half, teams will be fighting for spots in the state tournament in Lafayette. That tournament begins on Thursday, November the 14th, with quarterfinal matchups, semifinals played on Friday, November the 15th, with the state championship matchups in all five divisions taking place in the Cajun Dome on Saturday, November the 16th. Best of luck to all of the state's volleyball teams as they close out the regular season and make a push towards the Cajun Dome. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Special thanks to all of our correspondents: Coach Lou Valden, Chasten Tavares, Gene Ponte, Kevin Foote, Lamar Gafford, Robin Fambro, Tim Fletcher, and Troy LaBeouf. I'm Ian Ozan. We'll see you next week for the final week of the regular season on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview.